Welcome to TCC Alive, a podcast of Tulare Community Church.
Hear now the word of the Lord from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 to 25. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for five months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you, Tulare Community Church. My name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at TCC. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to be here with you all here and now. I hope you have settled from the comatose that can be Thanksgiving. It was awesome to serve alongside so many of you this past Wednesday during our Thanksgiving outreach. And as Thanksgiving enters into the rearview mirror, Christmas is upon us. While Thanksgiving has nothing to do with the broader story of Christianity, Christmas is a thoroughly Christian holiday that, in many regards, has become Americanized. We are not fans here at TCC of Xmas. We are fans of Christ Mass, the celebration of the prophesied Messiah entering the world as an infant in a manger. Joy to the world, joy in the world. And for the past 2,000 years, Christians have taken this celebration so seriously that we have devoted an entire liturgical season in anticipation of its coming day. Advent, a synonym of arrival, appearance, emergence, dawn, the dawn of a new day. These are the 4 weeks that precede Christmas itself. And today marks the start of week one. And we're going to spend some time together in the first 25 verses of the Gospel of Luke. And the objective of our time together is this: to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Pay close attention as we move through our passage, because I did not make those words up. I don't know if you've heard, but Facebook has changed its name to Meta. Yes, Meta. Mark Zuckerberg's grand idea is to create the metaverse, an entire world in virtual reality where we can live our lives not living our actual lives. If you know me at all, then you'll know that I couldn't be more excited. Who needs reality when you can live a fantasy? I'm sure it'll be really good for our already crumbling ability to connect with one another on an interpersonal level beyond our devices. Zuckerberg is quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying that Meta is the next evolution of social connection. It's a collective project that will be created by people all over the world and open to everyone. You'll be able to socialize, learn, collaborate, and play in ways that go beyond what's possible today. Zuckerberg is prophesying that the world will become virtual, and Meta is spending billions and billions of dollars in an effort to make that prophecy a reality and a profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. Now, as horrifying as all of that is, and it is horrifying, this phenomenon is not isolated to the Silicon Valley. Some economists are prophesying that inflation will be no problem, while others think that it spells D-O-O-M for the U.S. of A. The political left prophesies that we will achieve utopia when the government plays as significant a role in our lives as the market does. While the political right prophesies that we'll finally achieve national perfection when the invisible hand of the market is able to operate unencumbered by governmental overreach. In the sports world, we hear from very smart people that the Michigan Wolverines will win the college football playoff and that the Buffalo Bills will make it to four more Super Bowls and never win another one. Y2K was supposed to trigger a worldwide atomic apocalypse or something, and the Mayan calendar predicted that the world's volcanoes would all erupt in unison or something, also destroying the world. And yet here we are. On a more serious note, and more disheartening, is the self-proclaimed prophet, and they pop up every few years it seems, who somehow has acquired a national platform and tells the world that Jesus will return at X date and X time, even though Jesus himself says in Acts 1:7, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Prophecies abound. And if you consider yourself to be a Christian, or even if you don't, then figuring out which ones matter and which don't can be tough. But what our passage tells us is that the final prophet lived and died nearly 2,000 years ago. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Our passage today consists of the first 25 verses of the book of Luke. And Luke, as a person, is noted throughout the New Testament, particularly in relation to the Apostle Paul. He was a medical doctor who not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but also the book of Acts. By total content, this means that Luke wrote a quarter of the New Testament. And after a short intro, Luke begins to tell us a true story. Tells us that Herod is king, meaning that this true story happened at some point between 37 and the year 4 B.C. And we mark B.C. as the moment that Jesus was born. We kind of hit zero and then go forward. The protagonist of our true story is Zechariah, a priest in the 8th of 24 priestly divisions of Israel. His wife Elizabeth is also from a lineage of priests. Zechariah and Elizabeth are a pious, God-fearing couple. Unfortunately, they've been unsuccessful at having children and are now both very old. And in our context, this is a sad but not uncommon reality. But in the context of ancient Israel, this was a huge problem. And as odd or maybe as hard to hear as this might be for us, in ancient Israel, a woman's entire identity was centered around her ability to give birth to a son who would in turn carry on the lineage of the family. This is important background information for us to know. Now, Zechariah's division, his priestly division, is on duty to do one of their 2 weeks a year of temple duty. Each division had a huge number of priests, so having the honor of going into the temple to burn incense would have only happened once in a lifetime. And this is Zechariah's once-in-a-lifetime moment. He draws the lot, he goes into the temple, and wham! An angel appears, scares Zechariah to pieces, a very common reaction throughout all of Scripture, and the angel says, "Hey Zechariah, cool it. Your prayer has been answered, and Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're going to call him John. He will be set apart, he'll never drink wine," meaning he'll be a Nazarite. "He'll gather back those who have wandered away from God," and drumroll, listen for it. Verse 17 says, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, prophets in the Old Testament didn't make unsubstantiated predictions about something that might happen in the future, as do many of our modern day prophets. Prophets in the Old Testament were the direct mouthpiece through which God spoke to his people. Just a few weeks ago, we looked at probably the worst prophet in all of Scripture, Jonah, who was communicating God's warning of destruction to the Ninevites. And this was a common message that prophets conveyed: repent, or there will be consequences. And another common message had to do with the coming of the Messiah. Like in Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 3, and this is just a small portion of that passage, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." Now, when we return to our passage, we say, "Enter stage right, John the Baptist, the final prophet called to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." In ancient times, whenever a king of a land was traveling to another land or to a city, a guy would walk way out in front of the king's caravan, and that guy in the front, he would cry as loudly as he possibly could, "Prepare yourselves, the king is coming." This guy way up front was the herald. And the miraculous son of Zechariah and Elizabeth is the herald of the king who is coming into the land of the living. French lawyer and Reformed theologian, father of the Reformed tradition, wrote, "Luke properly begins his gospel with John the Baptist, just as a person who is going to speak about the daybreak would commence with the dawn." John the Baptist is the final and last true prophet, heralding the coming of the light of the world, sent to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And in Advent, Christians adopt this same posture. We are reminded of the days, weeks, months, and years leading up to the child king born in the backwater town of Bethlehem. John the Baptist is the herald, and we wait in hopeful expectation that Jesus Christ, the true king, the true light, is right behind him. And Advent also points to the dawn that we live in right now. We know that the truth of the light, that the true light has come once, that he took the sins of the world upon himself and died for us on a cross, covering us in the love and grace of God. We know that that has happened, and yet we still find ourselves right here, right now, waiting, with hopeful expectation that daybreak is soon to come, when Jesus will return and make all things right. And yet for some of us, that return couldn't come soon enough. We've lost loved ones. We see a world in disarray. Pain, death, destruction abound. And so we want mourning now. But the Christian hope is that while there may be pain in the night, joy comes in the morning. And until that daybreak, until the light of the world reappears, until the King returns, there is work to be done. God is still active, and He calls us to enter into His work with Him. Advent is upon us. The light is coming, and God is still working to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And in the true story of Scripture that we will look through over these next weeks of Advent, we will see that John the Baptist, the final and last prophet, is coming to let us all know. He's almost here. You'll see him soon. Get ready. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about the ministries and mission of Tulare Community Church, visit us at tccalive.org.